We're joined by WPR's news director Michael Leland for a look at what's making headlines in Wisconsin this week.
Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Happy to be here.
Well, let's start with a law that Governor Walker signed. This one involves police-involved shootings. What happened?
Right. This is a new law. It affects mostly police departments in the state's largest cities, like Milwaukee, Madison, and Green Bay. Right now, when there's a police-involved shooting, they do their own investigation. Smaller communities for years have had this done by outside investigators already because, well, for the most part, they don't have the staffing needed to conduct such an investigation. So now under this law, all police-involved shootings have to be investigated by a group or organization outside of that particular police department.
And how did this law come about? Where did it come from?
Well, partly because of a man named Michael Bell. Back in 2004, his son was shot by police outside of their home in Kenosha. He sort of took it on as his cause when an internal investigation, again, this is the community investigating itself, the police department, found no wrongdoing by police. And that has really been the argument by supporters of this law and this effort that whether it's true or not, it can appear to be a conflict of interest for a police department to investigate itself.
And Michael Bell, the plaintiff you were just talking about, he used his megaphone and he's gotten some attention. And it got, obviously got some traction with this law, but what happened after?
Right. There was a civil lawsuit and he settled for a little bit under $2 million. And he used a lot of that money on things like billboards and other ways of publicizing his campaign, not only about his son, but also raising awareness about another case, this one in Milwaukee, the death of Derek Williams, who died while handcuffed in the back of a Milwaukee squad car in 2011. So attention started building, and the next thing you know, we've got legislation.
So now if the police aren't investigating these cases, who is when it's a police-involved shooting?
It could be other police departments. It could be the federal investigators. I mean, there are other outside organizations that can do this sort of thing.
And as far as support for this law, which legislators were attached to it? Where did the support come from?
Yeah, it was bipartisan. Representative Chris Taylor, a Democrat of Madison, and Gary Bies of Sister Bay, he's a Republican. They are the co-sponsors of the legislation, which not only includes the shootings, but it also requires that the details of these investigations be publicly released if there are no charges filed. And it goes into effect immediately.
Okay, well, now from a sign law to, I guess, a possible law down the road, Glenn Grothman calling for an end to race and gender preference programs in Wisconsin. Catch us up on that.
Right. This is something he's talked about in the past, but it sort of got new life or became something to be talked about again. Because as you remember, this past Tuesday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in a Michigan case that a ballot initiative in that state that bans the consideration of race in public university admissions is constitutional. So shortly after that ruling was announced, really within hours, Glenn Grothman, a Republican state senator, said that he would reintroduce his bill to end all race and gender preference programs here in Wisconsin.
What has Grothman said so far about why he feels this is necessary?
Well, he has said, first of all, that he was already planning to do this, but now thinks it has a much greater likelihood of passing because of the Supreme Court ruling. He has said that race and gender preferences in society are extensive, more so than he says many people realize. And he says things like requiring that a certain percentage of public contracts be set aside for women and minority-owned businesses are divisive.
And what would it take to pass the law? Do we have a sense?
Yeah, this would be a constitutional amendment required. So this would be, not a short-term thing. It would have to pass two consecutive legislative sessions, then go to the voters, and then it would become part of the Constitution. So, again, we're talking several years before this could go into effect. And, again, he's brought this up in the past, but it has not gone anywhere.
Now, to be clear, how would you parse the ruling that the Supreme Court upheld? Does it weigh in on affirmative action either way?
Yeah, it doesn't really say much about or really anything about whether an admission policy that considers race is a good thing or not. It really just looked at the amendment that was passed in Michigan and said, were Michigan voters within their right to ban the use of that sort of policy? And the court said, yes, they were. So it was really about whether voters had the right to do what they did, not whether these policies were a good idea.
So a lot of people looking at that Supreme Court ruling, wondering how it's going to affect them. What about the UW?
Well, here in Wisconsin, UW has what it calls a holistic admission policies. It does consider race among a variety of factors. when determining admission. It relies mainly on academic records, but again, considers a range of factors, including race. There is a legal group that's actually looking to possibly challenge that policy here in Wisconsin, and it has been looking for clients, people who have applied to the UW and were turned away for a potential lawsuit against the UW for its policy, but that could be a ways down the road.
All right, we'll be watching that one to come. And some breaking news in the gubernatorial race here in Wisconsin. It sort of seemed as though it was going to be Governor Walker with leading candidate Mary Burke from the Democrats. Now we've got a new candidate.
Yep, Democrat Brett Halsey, a state representative from Madison, said this week he would be running for governor, and that would likely set up a primary with Democrat Mary Burke if he gets on the ballot. And we'll know more about that in about a month or so when all of that is locked in. Some Democrats had hoped to avoid a primary so that Burke wouldn't have to spend a lot more money up front. But Halsey says it would be good, obviously good for him if he wins. But even if he doesn't, he says a primary would be good for Burke because it would sharpen her campaign against Governor Walker for the November election.
And what do we know about what Halsey is running on so far?
Well, he says he wants to restore all of the funding that the governor cut from education in his first budget a few years ago. He also wants to turn some land up in northern Wisconsin, which is the subject of, whether there may be an iron ore mine there someday. He says that should just become a state park. And he also wants to overturn that Act 10 law that largely curtailed collective bargaining for public workers.
Do you have a sense of what his campaign is like so far?
He has described it as promising to be entertaining. It's largely a low-budget campaign. So far, he says that's meant shooting internet campaign ads with his iPhone. Of course, he's got his Volkswagen Cabriolet or Golf, or perhaps you've seen that around town. And many people will be seeing that around the state, I'm sure.
All right. Well, that's another one that we'll be developing in the weeks and months to come. We'll be watching that. And in terms of Governor Walker himself and Mary Burke, we've got a new poll. What new information do we have?
Yeah, new poll this week from Public Policy Polling. This is a firm that polls for Democratic campaigns. It has found that Governor Walker leading Mary Burke by 3 percentage points, 48% to 45%, and 30% of voters at this point still saying they don't know enough about Burke to form an opinion. And again, these results were within the poll's margin of error, which was plus or minus about 3 percentage points.
Well, we are clearly in the thick of election season. It will get, I guess, thicker.
Yes.
More active.
Yeah, more
active. We'll be watching that. But that's what we know this week about the gubernatorial race. Now to look at Milwaukee in particular, they are looking at a gun buyback program. Tell us about that.
Right. Unfortunately, summer brings more people out into the streets and can increase violence. And we all remember last summer in August, there were 20 people shot and killed in Milwaukee. Another 80 were shot and wounded. Milwaukee mayor is trying to prevent a repeat of that sort of violence. He says the city's going to hold another gun buyback program on May 17th. There was one back in 2005 that brought in about 3,000 firearms, and the mayor obviously is hoping to get a lot more guns off the street this time around.
So it's been a while. Where did the idea come from this time?
Our Chuck Kornbach this week reported that the idea came from a metal recycling firm owner named Marty Foreman. And Foreman says he'd like to see the guns melted and then made into garden tools, sort of a modern take on the swords into plowshares thing. He says so far they've raised about $75,000 for the buyback program.
So what other support have we seen aside from Mayor Barrett, who wants to hold this thing?
Well, it's not just obviously the mayor and Mr. Foreman. There have been a group of African-American clergy in the city who have been asking for quite a while for another gun buyback program. One of them said that even if you've got criminals who don't turn in their guns, even if many people don't turn in their guns, which is likely going to happen, the buyback program still promotes safety because they say it encourages other people in the community to do constructive things like create jobs and really gives hope to people. So it can be a positive thing even in areas of the city that may not see as many guns come off the street as the organizers hope.
And gun violence is something that the news department has been tracking, right?
Yeah, we have been keeping an eye on the number of gun homicides in the state just really to get a sense of the scope of the problem. So we've been sort of keeping track this year. At last count, there have been 29 people killed in gun-related homicides in the city. I mean, in the state. This is a statewide number. And, of course, we'll continue to follow on that and report on issues related to gun violence throughout the year.
Excellent. Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming by. I appreciate it.
Happy to be here.
That was WPR's news director, Michael Leland.